لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الخلق عيال الله وأحب الخلق إلى الله أحسنهم إلى عياله وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected friends and members, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed blessed us. It's a great bounty and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has made us from the followers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of mankind, the leader of all the anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this dunya, then the land that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to, Arabia, was full of darkness, full of vice, full of zulm, full of all the wrong that was taking place. And the nur of hidayat, the nur of iman, the nur of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that entire place was transformed in a short span of time. Initially it was difficult because people were used to customs. They had their own ways which was passed on from generation to generation. The Arabs were people who were very used to hold on to custom and, you know, ancestral practices a lot. So to break that was a very difficult task upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the effort that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, then the entire place was changed. Makkah was a place initially which was filled with idols. The Kaaba had idols inside, all around it. Makkah was a place that never wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never wanted Iman. They drove out the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had to make hijrah. So all those sacrifices took place. And then Rasulullah comes to Medina and sacrifice continues. And after that then he returns to Makkah in the 8th year after hijrah. 8 years after leaving Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to Makkah now victorious for Fath Makkah, what we call it, the conquest of Makkah. And after that, up to conquest of Makkah, on that expedition there were approximately 8,000 which became 10,000 Sahaba. But 2 years later, in Hajjatul Wada', the final Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a few months before he left this dunya, approximately 124,000 Sahaba radiyallahu anhu. So quickly Iman spread, so quickly the nur of Hidayat spread. Whereas for so long it was a small group of people. When they were in Makkah with a small Jama'at, they came to Medina, then most of the expeditions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and Sahaba accompanied him, you find the number of 1,500. Up to the 6th year in Hudaybiyah, 6 years after Hijrah, that's 19 years after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got Nubuwwat. Spent 13 years in Makkah, and then now 6 years later in Medina, during the time of the expedition of Hudaybiyah, roughly 1,500 Sahaba. And that was majority of the Muslims. So quickly thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then spread the winds of Hidayat, and the entire place was transformed. And it was transformed for the better of humanity themselves. That those people whose lives were changed, those who came upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who accepted the nur of Hidayat, then for forever and ever their destiny was changed, mashallah, and for the better. Their lives in this dunya became better, lives in akhirat became better, definitely. Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us and show us how to live in this world also and how to acquire our akhirah. Islam and the sunnah has come to teach humanity how to be humane. It has come insan ko insan banane ke liye aaya. It came to make a man out of man. Because man had become like hayawan. Insan became like hayawan. Man became like animal. Like we see today as well. At that time, man lived like animals. They did the worst of wrongs. There was no sense of guilt. They used to raid and loot and steal and war and plunder. And like that, all other types of zulm is to take place, all other types of wrong. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reformed that very same jama'at, the very same people who after accepting Islam, we refer to them as radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Some of them were the very same who were burying their daughters alive before Iman came. Why? Because of the custom. It was the custom of those before them. They were doing it, so we ought to do it. They never understood the hikmat also behind it. What's the hikmat? They just went on with custom. The very same people who were bloodthirsty now became thirsty for hidayat of mankind. They became thirsty for hidayat for others. They went out to give dawah to others. The very same people who were plundering and looting now became the ones who were more hospitable, the ones who were generous, the ones who were donating for the sake of the fuqara and in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in sunnah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran and sunnah was sent to refine mankind and to make a man out of man. Today also if you look around the dunya, we find that this one element is missing. There's enough insan, but there's no insaniyat. There's no, people have become inhumane. The amount of wrong that takes place, the amount of cheating, the amount of deceit. Sometimes you want to think to yourself, is this really humane? Is it humane that a person does an action like this? This dunya has now been filled again with dalal, with misguidance, with zulumat, with darknesses, and with customs. People are following everybody else, with following trends, following fashion. Following everything else besides the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this dunya to live the best of lives. In Surah Mulk, Allah mentioned the purpose of life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah is the one who created the system of life and death to test you who amongst you is the best in action. أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who does the best? Similarly, in Surah Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهُ. Whatever is on earth, we have created it as an adornment, as a decoration only. زِينَةً لَهُ. Then Allah says, لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So that we can check and test who among you is best in actions. Who can do ahsan, the best of deeds. And the only way we can, any deed a person does, what, no matter how mundane it may be, no matter how simple deed it may be, he goes to the toilet also, or he's sleeping, or he's walking, he's entering somewhere, or he's exiting from somewhere, he's waking up in the morning, minutest of movements and actions a man does, if he does it in the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, if he does it with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is termed as ahsan. That is the best way to do anything. The best way to do anything is the way which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand this when it comes to our ibadat, our salah. We must do it in accordance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah. We can't do salah in our own way. The hadith says, Sallu kama ra'aytuhu yusalli. Read salah like you see me reading salah. And those follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our other ibadat, in our hajj and zakat, in our umrah, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. The Prophet said, learn your rights of Hajj al-Umrah from me. Do it like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. If somebody is reading salah and he starts in ruku and then he goes into tashahhud and then he comes and he stands up and then he goes into sajda, he does all the postures of salah. He did all the postures. But he never did it in the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. That will not be termed salah. That will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu. If somebody goes for Hajj or Umrah and he makes tawaf of Baytullah the other way around, tawaf currently takes place anti-clockwise. He says, no, everything is supposed to be clockwise. So he wants to make tawaf in reverse or the other way around. It's not going to be accepted because that is not the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we understand that in our ibadah, it has to be according to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. But this applies to everything else as well. Our mu'amalat, our dealings, buying and selling, the sunnah must be found. The teaching of the sunnah must be found. Our mu'ashar, how we interact with people, the akhlaq that we're supposed to be showing to people, it must be in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we ensure that the sunnah is found in all of these, then that will be the best possible way to carry out that action. The sunnah is the best possible way to carry out anything. So Allah said, He wants to test us, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who of you has this quality of ihsan? Who is best أحسن. And Allah said in Quran, وَمَنْ Allah says in Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. In Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for you is that same Hasan, that beautiful example, that beautiful role model. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there to show us how to lead that life which is ahsan, how to carry out those a'mal that are ahsan. Ayyukum ahsan wa amal. Under the verse, Bala man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsinun. Bala man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsinun. In Surah Baqarah, that behold the one who surrenders himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa muhsin, and he is a muhsin. The same thing. Allah says, Allah wants to test you, who is doing ihsan, who is doing good. Ayyukum ahsan wa amala. So the Quran is saying that person who submits to Allah and he is a muhsin, falahu ajruhu inda rabbi. His reward is guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says that these two elements are essential for any deed to be accepted or rewarded in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First is, it must be for the sake of Allah. Man aslama wajhahu lillah. You surrendered to Allah, in other words, you are doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, not only your ibadah, not only your salat and zakat. No, the normal actions also, it must be, how will Allah be pleased with me? Whatever I am doing, may Allah must be pleased with me. That is the core element. And the second, wa huwa muhsin, and he must be one doing ihsan, doing that which is ahsan, like the Quran said, Allah is testing us, who can do ahsan wa amala. Wa huwa muhsin means, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions, that he follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that pertains to that deed. So every action, whether ibadah or any other action, for us, for it to be accepted if it's ibadah, or for us to get reward, even if it's not ibadah, then it has to be with these two things. The second is, wa huwa muhsinun, means following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And respected friends and elders, ulama, right? And if this is found, the element of sunnah is found in any action, then you will find satisfaction in it. You will find peace, you will find barakah. You know, we hear of many incidents, ulama of the past, of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they spent hours on end in ibadah, in tilawat of Quran, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in dua, and they found so much of enjoyment in this. And Allah has definitely kept peace and enjoyment and ecstasy in the acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today we are doing the same salat, the same Quran we are reading, same du'as we are making, but are we really getting that enjoyment and satisfaction? So a common complaint is, we don't feel that enjoyment. The Sahaba had so much of enjoyment in their salat and tahajjud that the wife is waiting. Sahabi went out in the battle, out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He returns after a long while, wife is waiting next to him, and he reads his tahajjud, and then he doesn't finish the fajr azan. Wife is waiting for him. Everybody wants to come back and spend time with their wives and they love them, their loved ones, their children, etc. But when he made the salam, his wife asked him that, how come you wait so long, came back, when is my time? Like they say today, when is my time? So he says, you know what, when I started my salat, the new never crossed my mind. The amount of enjoyment I was getting, reading Quran and understanding the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going to the meaning of the kalam of Allah, it was more enjoyable to him than meeting his wife after a long separation. How the Sahaba experienced so much of joy and ecstasy in ibadah. Some ulama used to make dua for hours on end. One of Imam Hassan Saab, rahimahullah, people mentioned, used to make dua sometimes for 4 hours. 4 hours in dua. Today we think, how do you spend 4 hours? If you make 4 minutes of dua and you feel, today I made a long dua. We spend 4 minutes in dua and we start feeling, pious. I did a long dua today. And there 4 hours. And we think to ourselves when we hear things like this. A sahabi spends one rak'at, whole night, one rak'at of salah. One rak'at, he did whole Quran. How he did that? But look, let's look again into our lives. We also do the same. We also spend hours on end on things that we enjoy, things that we like, things that we regard to be fun. A person spends hours playing games, whether he's playing outside, soccer or cricket, whole day he's playing with his friends. How he spent 4 hours playing cricket? How he spent so many hours playing soccer? How he spent so many hours playing games on the computer or any other electronic games. How he spent so much of time watching television all night. So, we today spend our time in those things and we consider it to be normal. It's because we understand that there's some kind of joy in them. But here when we see Sahaba, when we see the pious awliya and our pious predecessors, and we understand that they enjoyed themselves on the musalla, like we are enjoying it even more. The enjoyment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in His obedience, the enjoyment that Allah has kept again in the sunnah, is more than the enjoyment of all His other things, all His other things. Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah mentions, Wallahi inna lafi laddatin. He took a qasam on Allah and he says that us meaning for in the ibadat of Allah, practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like being on the musalla, being with dhikr of Allah, with the tasbih in the hand, with the Quran, making tilawat, reading something to do with knowledge of deen, reading some hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making ta'aleem. In these kind of ibadat is what he was referring to. Inna lafi laddatin, we are in such ecstasy and joy. لو علمها الملوك لجادلونا عليه عليها بالسيوف. If the kings ought to know how much we are enjoying ourselves. In other words, in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the commands of Allah, whilst controlling ourselves, leading our lives like Allah wants us to lead our lives. There's so much of enjoyment in this. If the kings of the world knew, they would come and fight with us with their swords to try and take that away from us. A king has it all. The ruler of a country, ruler of an area, he's got everything, he's got all the privileges. He's the person who's supposed to be enjoying himself the most. He's the person who's supposed to have acquired everything of the world that was there to acquire. So he can have whatever food he wants, he can have whatever drink he wants, he can have whatever woman he wants to marry, he can do whatever pastime, any hobby, whether it be hunting and whatever other kind of hobby he wants to do. He can have as much as fun as he wants. But Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah says, even the king don't experience that joy and satisfaction and peace that Allah has kept in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah, in the ibadat of Allah, in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we were saying that in any action, for it to be accepted if it's ibadah, or for it to be rewarded if it's ibadah, or any other action if you want reward for it, then two things are found. Ulama say the third thing is, if you want to enjoy it, if you want satisfaction, then also these two things need to be found. That it can be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or following the command of Allah. And secondly, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You went to sleep according to the sunnah, you will enjoy it, sleep more. You are eating, eat according to the sunnah, you will enjoy and you will benefit from it more. You are dressing up, dress up according to the sunnah, it is more beneficial for you, more enjoyable for you, more peace, satisfaction for you is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every other way is man-made. Every other way, every other fashion, every other trend, everything has been thought up by man. And that changes with time. Look at the dressing. You know, you were growing up in the 80s and 90s. Then if the tag of the skipper of your vest, till today if it's on the outside, then somebody will tell you, excuse me, man, you're wearing it wrong side. But today, that tag has to be there. He must show he's wearing, whether it be a Nike, whether it be Puma, whether it be pyjamas, pitter patter must be there outside. That's how it used to be worn, wrong side. But that has become fashion now. So at that time fashion was different. Now it has changed. And as time will go along in your own life, you will find a more change. Again, fashion will change. Those days, if you wore your vest on the outside, you can see the seam. If you wore it the other way around, then you would say, this is wrong. I mean, the person will be shy. If you wore his skipper like that. Today, sometimes that is the fashion. That's how it must be. If you wore torn clothing, that's a sign of poverty. Today you're paying thousands of rands for torn clothing. So like that, their fashions change, their trends change, their ways and their sunnats. The word sunnah literally means the way and practice of someone. So the sunnats of everybody else and the ways of everybody else will keep changing because they are confused. Our way, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is never changing. Why? It is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself selected it for us. Allah inspired Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with every deed Allah guided him. Allah showed him what is the best. And it is the best for all times. The sunnah doesn't change. You know what, now in winter the sunnah will change. And in summer, it's different. In summer, you feel hot, so you can, for example, shave your beard because it's hot. And in winter, keep a longer beard. And you know, in summer, for example, don't read a salat daytime, read salat at night when the day is too hot. And winter, read your salats during the day because the nights are cold and long. No, nothing. It's all systematic for every era and every area and for every person. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so perfect and so complete, it needs no change. Until today, people are practicing on the sunnah. Till today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved all these, all this for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved it in the form of the words in the kitabs of hadith, in the books of fiqh, and in the books of the ulama. They have preserved the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you want to know what is the sunnah, it's all documented till this day. Till this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the sunnah for me and you, so that there's no excuse. So the sunnah is for every era, never changing. And the sunnah, the knowledge of the sunnah has remained throughout time and has not become extinct also. One is that we hear, a person hears, you know, there was something called sunnah. There was something, you know, things were done in accordance to a particular way, but how was it really done, we don't know. No, Allah has preserved that also for us. Allah has preserved it in words, and Allah has preserved it for us in action. In action, from now till between us and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every era had people who were practicing on the sunnah. And they passed it on practically as well. Like they passed on the words. Like they passed on, they also made ta'aleem of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the students, when they acquired those hadiths, and then they passed it on to their congregation. And the imams from their members, they passed it on. People in the madrasas passed it on to their students. That is what that in the form of words. Practically also you will find an unbroken chain between us and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every era has got people who practice physically the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This demonstrates to us the practicality. It shows that there was no need for change. It was easy and simple for everyone of every era. And in our era as well, if you look around, there are people who are following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. There will always be a group of my ummah. You will always find a party in a group of my ummah who will be practicing on the haqq, and they will be apparent. They will be visible to the people, so that people don't go in the court of Allah the day of Qiyamah. Oh Allah, I lived, you know, in the new millennium. And we say the 80s and the 90s. What do you refer to the time after that? The 80s was in the 1980s and then the 1990s. After 2000, so they call it the noughties. It was too naught, naught, naught. So I was born in the noughties. I grew up in the noughties. I was living in the new millennium. I didn't know how to practice deen. No, Allah ensures that in your area and era and wherever you are, there are people who are practicing the deen to the best possible way. So that this can be an inspiration for us. Allah preserved the sunnah for us as an inspiration on one hand. And on the other hand, so a man doesn't have excuse that I didn't know how to practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So physically also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the sunnah. And for example, I was just thinking today, imagine the sunnah of miswak. The miswak, we hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam miswak. Allah preserved this also. This stick also has been preserved for us. In other words, it never become outdated. The people felt there's no need now to break a branch of a particular tree to clean your teeth. We have toothbrushes, let's just replace it. No, Allah ensured that people still planted these kind of trees. If Allah wished, these trees could have become extinct. But these kind of trees are still being planted in the dunya. That today too, after 1,400 and some odd years, after the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, approximately 1,430 years after the wafat of Rasulullah, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah is still alive. If somebody wants to use the miswak also, a stick from the tree that the Nabi of Allah did, the man hears about it, he says, my Nabi is also used to clean his teeth with this. 10 different occasions, ulama mentioned, 10 different occasions. Not only when you wake up in the morning, or before you go to sleep at night, 10 different occasions to use the miswak. So a person hears about it, he heard about it. Now he wants to practice. Today too, Allah has preserved this also. And I can find a miswak somewhere, easily available. And I can follow and I can clean my teeth exactly like my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say he used the miswak. It comes in the kitab, he used the miswak. How he held the miswak also. Which direction he cleaned the teeth also is explained. After brushing the teeth, he brushed the tongue also explained. And they do exactly like my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Allah's favor upon us. And like I said, on the other hand, it's Allah's hujjah, Allah's proof against us. And if you don't follow, you have no reason not to. You have no reason not to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it was their work. It was their practice. And everything, the tools of the sunnah were available as well. All you needed to do was adopt it. And respected for the others, like I mentioned, adopting the sunnah will bring peace in our life, will bring enjoyment in our life, will bring ecstasy in our life. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got that effect. The best way and the most enjoyable way and the most complete way of doing anything is in accordance to our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Look into our lives. How much of the sunnah is there, alhamdulillah, make sure. And how much more we need to improve. Like I said, we have this notion that sunnah is in the masjid, sunnah is in ibadah, sunnah is in everything. Everything in the home. You eat on the floor, eat with the right hand. Say bismillah before you eat. While you're eating, say Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Every sunnah has got, on one hand, the benefit of it being the best way of us doing it, giving us enjoyment. Every sunnah has got behind it barakah, has got hidayah, has got protection for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept everything behind the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether we understand it or not, we believe in Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe in him being the Nabi of Allah. What does that mean? We believe in kalima la ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. What does that mean? That means we take every command of Allah. Allah is only one worthy of worship, only one worthy of obedience. And then we accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Messenger of Allah. What does that mean? It means Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen by Allah. And his ways was chosen by Allah. And in following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in everything we ought to have the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as rahmatul lil alameen, he came as a mercy for mankind, he came as hidayat for mankind, as siraj al munira to light up the darkness that was there, then every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also rahmat lil alameen, every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy for the world. Every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a source of hidayat, a source of barakah. Sunnah is a rahmat. Sometimes we know it when the child is young, then we feel, why must we dress the child in accordance to the sunnah? Dress him like how everybody else dresses. If somebody comes and his child is dressed full with kurta, a two-year-old child, for example, with a topi on, he's got a imama on, and he's wearing a kurta. People sometimes take pity that, poor child, why are you forcing him to wear this? Who said that's forced? That's not forced. That is the best possible way for the child as well. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah. Every child is born with a natural disposition of practicing on the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the sunnah, dressing the child according to the sunnah, making the child eat according to the sunnah, making the child sleep according to the sunnah is the easiest for the child. In the light of this hadith, that is the easiest for the child, the best for the child. Making the child wear clothing of others and following the fashions of others is difficult. We should be taking pity on those people. That why are you forcing the ways of others on the child? Allah has kept the ability of sunnah in the children, not the ability of following the fashions of the West and everybody else. So the sunnah of Rasulullah is natural to people. So every sunnah we're saying is a rahmat. So for that child also, for him to dress according to the sunnah is our rahmat to him, is good for him. Take pity on the child and dress him according to sunnah. But every sunnah is a mercy. Take pity on yourself and dress yourself according to sunnah. Take pity on yourself and eat according to sunnah. Take pity on yourself and do your business dealings according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned, you're discussing the miswak. That the miswak, the sunnah, has got 70 benefits. 70. Normally when they discuss, they say 70. The best benefit is that at the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for that person who used miswak throughout his life. Allah will make it easy for him to recite kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that is the goal. That is the ultimate. That is what we all are here for. That is what we are waking up for every morning. That is why we come to the masjid every day, five times a day.
That is why we are going for Hajj and Umrah. That is why we open Quran. That is why we're reading the Durood Sharif. That is why we make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we go out in the path of Allah. Why? So that when we leave the dunya, we leave properly. So that we can enter Jannah. So that when we leave, we take the key of Jannah with us. We don't leave it behind. Everything that we are doing is preparing for that last moment. And we are told, a person who follows this sunnah, Allah will make it easy for him. That is the highest benefit. And they say that the lowest benefit is that it removes bad odor from the mouth. It cleanses your mouth. The other 68 in between are not mentioned normally. Some ulama tried to mention. But it is our iman that the miswak has got all the benefit. Whether we understand what the benefit is or not, makes no difference. The same thing with every other sunnah. Every other sunnah is helping me and assisting me and protecting me and saving me in some way or the other, whether I can see it or not. But my iman is that this is the best way to lead my life. Reading a particular dua at a particular time, entering the home with the right foot, what effect that had in the home, we don't know, Allah knows. What effect it had if you entered with the left foot against the sunnah. You went into the toilet with the left foot against the sunnah. Or you went into the toilet with the right foot against the sunnah. Suppose you enter the toilet with the left foot. What effect is that having in my life? I don't know. Allah knows. But definitely it is having an effect. Following the sunnah will have a good effect definitely in our lives. And reading out the sunnah will definitely have a bad effect in our lives. Today if we look, there's so much of confusion in our lives. There's so much of dissatisfaction. There's so much of problems. There's so much of bickering, breaking of ties, breaking of relationships, infighting, dissatisfaction, homes are being broken. What is it? You must look, the first cause and direct cause is because we have left out the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah, every me eating with the right hand, what benefit that is bringing me, I don't know. All I know is this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my yaqeen is that this sunnah is either going to be paving my way to Jannah, it's going to be saving me from some wrong in this dunya, saving me from some effect of shaitan, saving me from some disease. Allah knows best what Allah is using that sunnah for and how He's using it to benefit me. But it is for my benefit. Our iman has to be on this. And as disciples of Kalima La ilaha illallah, Allah has given it to us. The sunnah is not only for Muslim. Allah sent the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for everyone. For everyone. We ought to practice it ourselves and take it to the rest of the world. We ought to take the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and teach it to others. Let's have pity on them. Let's have mercy on them and show them the way of mercy. And that is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Living the standards of life of the people outside, the modern fashions, modern trends, that is difficult for people, not easy. That is difficult. Living an extravagant life, you want the best of clothing. A man wants to drive a particular type of car. He wants to live in a particular suburb. And he wants to be able to go on a particular type of a holiday. And he wants to have a particular type of a wedding. It's not easy. That is absolutely difficult. That's what people are giving their lives for. Your life was supposed to be given to build your akhirah, to build your jannah, to prepare yourself for that last moment when you say La ilaha illallah and then leave the dunya. But the rest of mankind is all working towards the next house, the next car, the next installment, the next holiday someone, or the next gadget. That's what their life has been reduced to. That's how worthless their life has become. Imagine a man is spending his whole life just to build some building, just to get a nice house. And he achieved that and then he left the world. That's the only thing he got with that life. Life, the greatest value, the greatest wealth that a person had. The sarmaya, you know, his capital wealth. If a person has got a couple of million rand and he wants to invest it, he's going to look for the best possible, you know, investment scheme. Where can I get the best profit and the best returns? That's where he's not going to waste it somewhere. Life Allah has given us is nothing more valuable than it. This person took his life and he invested it in a building. Some person took his life and he invested it in some game. Whole life he was playing a game. Some person took that life of his and he invested it behind gadgets and devices. And some person took his life and he invested it behind drugs, behind women. His whole life was all about that. Imagine, he wasted his entire life. Allah gave us this to work for our akhirah, to work for our jannah. So people outside, their lives have become worthless. The whole life they are spending for things like this. They may achieve, they may not achieve. But a disciple of Kalima La Ilaha Illallah is guaranteed to get Jannah. He's guaranteed, not may or may not. But we have to make that effort that we leave this dunya with La Ilaha Illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Which sunnah will have that effect in my life? Which sunnah will keep me on the path? Which sunnah will have that barakah, that effect on us, that will allow us to leave this dunya with our iman? We don't know. All we need to do is follow on every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I mentioned at the beginning, the sunnah is the best way. Bala man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsin. And he submits to Allah and he is a muhsin, he does the best. And that is, he does the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, the all is guaranteed, his jannah is guaranteed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq of understanding the importance of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, every single sunnah. Allah, it has to be our yaqeen that something is wrong in my life is because some sunnah I never practiced. Yes, we can't expect a person to practice on sunnahs that don't pertain to his life. So the man never slept the entire day and he can't say, you know, I didn't practice on the sunnah of sleeping today. No. The sunnah that pertains to the action he was involved in. Any action you are doing, what sunnah pertains to that action must be carried out. So you suffered some loss, you have suffered some heartbreak, some heartache, there's some difficulty, some disappointment. But look in our own lives, blame ourselves, not the person around. Where is that? Some sunnah I left out, some command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I never follow. Let me rectify that and inshallah continue. Allah will make the life more easier, more peace, more satisfactory life inshallah we will lead. And inshallah Allah will grant us a Jannah. The person mentioned in Urdu, نقش قدم نبی کے ہیں جنت کے راستے. That in following the footsteps of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the way to Jannah. نقش قدم نبی کے ہیں سنت کے راستے. اللہ سے نبی کے نقش قدم نبی کے ہیں جنت کے راستے. اللہ سے ملاتا ہے سنت کے راستے. The sunnah joins you up to Allah subhanahu wa taala. The sunnah takes you back to Allah subhanahu wa taala. And that's what every man needs. He needs Allah in his life. He needs that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needs to be able to talk to Allah. He needs Allah to make things good for him. Nothing else can make good for him. No money in the world can bring shifa and cure. No money in the world can bring satisfaction and happiness. No money in the world can bring sleep also. Only Allah can give. The sunnah of Rasulullah joins you up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.